Section 130. Instruction given through President Joseph Smith III, April 14, 1913, at Lamona, Iowa. It was endorsed by the quorums and the assembly as a revelation from God, and the conference authorized its inclusion in the Doctrine and Covenants. Elder Joseph R. Lambert had been acting as presiding evangelist since the death of Elder Alexander H. Smith in 1909. There was widespread concern that a more permanent successor should be selected. Bishop E.L. Kelly and Apostles W.H. Kelly, I.N. White, and J.W. White were also finding the burdens of their several responsibilities arduous. These and others of the Church undoubtedly found a prominent place in the petitions of the prophet and of the saints in general prior to the convening of the conference and while it was yet in session. In obedience to the spirit and design of the day of fasting and prayer, I observe the day with the Church. I have hitherto made supplication to the God whom we serve and renewed my supplication in the spirit of the desire of the Church for instruction and light, and I am now prepared to lay before the Church what has come to me as the presiding officer through whom the Master may speak to his people. Thus saith the voice of the Spirit, in order that the Quorum of 12 may be placed in better condition to carry on the work of the ministry in various fields of occupation, it is expedient that Elders W.H. Kelly, I.N. White, and J.W. White be released from the active duties of the Apostolic Quorum on account of increasing infirmities of age and incapacity caused by illness of body, and stand with their associates among the high priests and patriarchs of the Church for such special service as may be open to them, according to wisdom and the call of the Spirit. It is also expedient that Elder Frederick A. Smith be released from the quorum activities, that he may take the place of his father, Elder Alexander H. Smith, as the presiding patriarch of the Church. According to the tradition of the elders, he should be chosen and ordained to this office, thus releasing Elder Joseph R. Lambert from the onerous duties in which he has faithfully served since the death of the presiding patriarch. To fill the vacancies caused by the release of these elders from the Apostolic Quorum, Elders James E. Kelly, William H. Ehler, Paul M. Hansen, and James A. Gillen may be chosen and ordained as apostles to take with others of the Quorum active oversight of the labors in the ministerial field. These servants, so called and chosen, if faithful, will receive the blessings which those have enjoyed who have preceded them in the Apostolic Quorum, and will be entitled to receive such ministration of the Spirit as will continue to qualify them for the discharge of the duties of the position whereunto they are called. The 12, in its reorganization for its work, may choose its own officers, president and secretary, by nomination and vote. The Spirit saith further, Elder E.A. Blakesley is hereby called into the more active participation of the duties of the bishopric than he has hitherto engaged in order that he may give such assistance to the Bishop E.L. Kelly as is essential unto the success of the work entrusted to the bishopric. It is also expedient that he be ordained unto the office of bishop, that he may serve as did his father, George A. Blakesley, who has preceded him. The Spirit saith further, that the bishopric may be still further put in condition to perform the duties of the office of caring for the temporalities of the Church, the imminent necessity of which appears clear to all, the Church should authorize the presiding bishop to make choice of someone who may be qualified to take active participation in the work of the bishopric and become in due time a part thereof, and this one so chosen should receive the support and sanction of the Church until he shall have approved or disapproved himself as a servant of the Master in the office whereunto he shall be called. The Spirit saith further unto the Church assembled and at large, in order that the temporal affairs of the Church may be successfully carried on, and the accumulated debt of the Church in its respective departments where debts have accumulated may be properly met and in due time discharged, the Church is instructed, both as members and as the body at large, to avoid the unnecessary building of houses of worship or places of entertainment or otherwise expending the tithes and offerings of the Church in that which may not be essential unto the continued onward progress of the general work. and both in private and in public expenditure, carry into active exercise the principle of sacrifice and repression of unnecessary wants, and thus permit the accumulation of tithes and offerings in such amounts as may be needful to properly discharge the existing indebtedness of the church as a body, and the Spirit counseleth the church in this regard. The Spirit saith further that the elders and delegates assembled in business capacity are counseled to cease permitting the spirit of recrimination and accusation to find place in their discourse, either public or private, as it tends to destroy confidence and create distrust, not only in those present at councils where they occur, but to those to whom the knowledge of such a course of procedure comes by the voice of those who are present and witness what is said and done. There should be harmony, and the Spirit enjoins it upon all, that the Master may be remembered as in meekness and due sobriety he carried on the great work to which he was called. The Spirit saith further that the church has been warned heretofore that the sons of the leading officers of the church are called and may be chosen to the respective offices to which the Spirit may direct, and the church should be prepared when necessity arises to properly choose such officers as may be pointed out as those who should fill the positions to which they are respectively called. There are others still in reserve who are fitted through the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, and the doctrine is true, to serve as those who are sent as apostles of peace, life, and salvation to those who are laboring in the valleys of humiliation and distress of spirit. Lamona, Iowa, April 14, 1913. Section 131. Revelation given through Joseph Smith III, prophet and seer to the church, April 14, 1914, at Independence, Missouri. It was addressed to the officers, delegates, and members of the church. It was first presented to the various quorums of the church and endorsed by them. Later, it was placed before the assembly of delegates to the conference and endorsed by standing vote. Provision was made for its incorporation in the Doctrine and Covenants. It was the last revelation given to the Church through Joseph Smith III, who died December 10, 1914. He had served the Church as President of the High Priesthood for more than 54 years. In agreement with the notice for the General Fast of the Church, to be observed on the first Sunday, being the 5th day of April 1914, I, Joseph Smith, President of the Church, in common with the custom of the Brotherhood, observed the rule requiring the fast, and spent that day in meditation and prayer upon the work of God and our present duty in the affairs entrusted to our care. Before the hour of breaking the fast came, I was blessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit resting upon me in quiet assurance and in power, in the still small voice which giveth light and understanding to the intelligence of man, exalting the soul and sanctifying the spirit, there came unto me the directing voice of him whose work we are engaged in. Thus saith the Spirit unto the church, the time has now come when the necessities of the work require that the servants of the church, Bishops Edwin A. Blakesley and Edmund L. Kelly, should be more closely associated in the carrying on of the financial affairs of the church and caring for the various organizations requiring the expenditure of monies collected from the membership of the church and the care of the properties belonging to the church as an organization under the laws of the church and of the land. To accomplish this object, the servant of the church, Edwin A. Blakesley, should make himself more thoroughly acquainted with the affairs in the office of the bishopric, that he may be better prepared to advise, strengthen, and aid in controlling the affairs of the bishopric to the successful accomplishment of the object in view when he was called and ordained to the bishopric. The Spirit saith further that it is expedient that additional aid be given to the bishopric in charge of the general affairs of the finances. And to do this, Richard C. Kelly, son of my servant Bishop Edmund L. Kelly, should be called and ordained to the office of an elder, that he may act with the bishopric in case of necessities, and to work in the office of the bishop in looking after and caring for the affairs appertaining to that office. And in due time, if he approve himself in this work, he should receive an ordination to the high priesthood, which would authorize him to act fully as a part of the bishopric. The Spirit saith further that the spirit of distrust and want of confidence in those who are called and ordained to act in the various responsible positions in the priesthood and in authority in the church is unbecoming those professing faith in God, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit of truth, and evinces a serious lack of that charity which Paul, an apostle of Christ, declared to be the quality of Christian virtue, which thinketh no evil. Those who go out from the assemblies and solemn conclaves of the church should exercise great care in their ministration abroad, both to the branches where they may officiate and in their preaching the gospel to those outside, to avoid sowing seeds of distrust and suspicion either in public ministration or in private conversation. The church has been admonished heretofore in this respect, and the Spirit saith again, it is unbecoming to the character and calling of those who administer in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. In witness whereof, I, Joseph Smith, President and Servant of the Church, hereto set my hand this 14th day of April in the year of our Lord, 1914. Signed, Joseph Smith. Section 132. President Joseph Smith died at Independence, Missouri, December 10, 1914. His oldest living son, Frederick Madison Smith, had been designated as his successor and was accepted by the church in this capacity. He was set apart as president of the church and the high priesthood at the Stone Church in Independence on May 5, 1915. The conference of 1915 had given consideration to the honorable release of presiding Bishop E.L. Kelley, but referred any necessary action to the presidency and Council of Twelve. President F.M. Smith reported the situation to a council of the presidency, Council of Twelve, and presiding bishopric. By action of this council, the text of the revelation was taken from the body of President F.M. Smith's report and presented to the General Conference, where it was endorsed and approved for inclusion in the Doctrine and Covenants. The matter of selecting one to succeed Bishop E.L. Kelley in the office of presiding bishop has received by me careful and prayerful consideration. I am therefore now prepared to say that the voice of the Spirit to me is that Bishop E.L. Kelley should be released from the responsibilities of presiding bishop, though he may act as traveling bishop, counseling and advising on the law of temporalities in harmony with his successor and the presidency. Let Benjamin R. McGuire be set apart and ordained presiding bishop of the church, and two of the brethren be set apart as counselors to him, one to be selected by him and supported by the conference, the other to be Bishop James F. Keir. I admonish the church, and particularly those of the priesthood, that the hastening time being upon us, there is great necessity for confidence in the men of the church chosen for positions of great responsibility, and all should consecrate of their talents, abilities, and substance for the prosecution of the great work entrusted to us. Everywhere the demand for great activity exists, and for the accomplishment of our work, the great essential is fraternal cooperation in service to man and devoted consecration to God and his work. Your servant, Frederick M. Smith, Independence, Missouri, April 5th, 1916. Section 133. Revelation given through President Frederick Madison Smith at Independence, Missouri, April 7th, 1920. This message was submitted first to the General Conference and then presented to the various quorums. After it was approved by the quorums and the conference, provision was made for its inclusion in the Doctrine and Covenants. To the Church. Having given to the general missionary needs of the Church and the condition of the Quorum of Twelve much thought and prayer, I am permitted to say to the Church by way of instruction through inspiration received, let Francis M. Sheehy and Peter Anderson be released from the Quorum of Twelve, and to fill the vacancies created by these releases, let Myron A. McConley and Thomas W. Williams be ordained apostles. Let the quorum of 12 be admonished that to discharge the responsibility of the burden of the missionary work upon them, they should in humility before God and in sincerity of purpose apply themselves to this great task with unreserved devotion. The work in this line must be hastened. Let them not be unduly concerned with the work of the standing ministry, only as they shall be directed by the presidency therein, and let contention cease concerning the prerogatives of the leading quorums. The work awaiting the efforts of the missionary forces is great, and there is no time for contentions. Let the apostles move out, as they have in the past been directed, in the task of taking to the peoples of the world the message of peace, and they shall find comfort and satisfaction in their labors. Frederick M. Smith, President of the Church. Independence, Missouri, April 7, 1920. Section 134. Revelation given through President Frederick M. Smith at Independence, Missouri, October 2, 1922. This message was presented to the General Conference, and by them referred to the various quorums. The Council of Twelve and Presiding Bishopric joined in recommending that action on it be deferred pending the settlement of important matters pending before the Joint Council of Presidency, Twelve, and Presiding Bishopric, in which the personnel of the Twelve are vitally interested. Debate on this procedural matter broadened into a review of the entire administration of President Smith. The document was approved by a divided vote on October 12th. To the Church. To the matter of filling the leading quorums of the Church in which vacancies now exist, I have given prayerful and careful consideration and meditation, and the voice of inspiration to me is, let Floyd M. McDowell be ordained counselor to the President as a member of the First Presidency to fill the vacancy now existing. Let Gomer T. Griffiths, Ulysses W. Green, Cornelius A. Butterworth, and Robert C. Russell be released from further responsibility as apostles to devote their activities as their strength and opportunity might permit to local work or as evangelical ministers as might be determined by subsequent procedure. To fill the vacancies in the Quorum of 12, let the following be ordained apostles: Clyde F. Ellis, John F. Garver, Daniel T. Williams, F. Henry Edwards, Edmund J. Glazer, Roy S. Budd. Let James A. Gillen be ordained president of the Quorum of 12. The field is large and the time opportune. Let the missionary work be prosecuted with great vigor, and if the 12 will devote themselves wholeheartedly to this work, the Church will be greatly blessed through their ministration. And let the Quorum of 12 be further admonished that upon them rest the onerous burden of the missionary work of the Church, and be not concerned with local administrative work except in emergencies or as sent by the Presidency, leaving the care of the local work to those officers previously indicated in the law. Let contention cease. Frederick M. Smith, Independence, Missouri, October 2, 1922. Section 135. In the years prior to 1925, the reorganization was passing through a period which brought to the fore problems of administrative prerogatives. These involved the leading quorums of the Church. A climax was reached in the General Conference of 1925. A conflict of views between the First Presidency and the Presiding Bishopric occurred. The Order of Bishops presented a motion to the conference recommending the honorable release from their positions of members of the Presiding Bishopric. The General Conference, by motion, deferred action and approved an appeal to the Lord through the prophet in fasting and prayer. In response to the plea of the Church, the following revelation was received through President Frederick M. Smith, prophet and seer to the Church, April 18, 1925. To the Church. Before and since the decision of the conference to have a season of prayer for divine direction in the matter before the conference, I have presented to the Lord the needs of the people, and through the voice of inspiration I am directed to say to the Church, It is wisdom that the brethren of the present presiding bishopric be released from further responsibility in that office, and that Albert Carmichael be ordained to act in the office of presiding bishop for a time, he to choose from among the bishops two to act as counselors. It is well that the documents from the Joint Council of April 1924 have been approved, and the Church is admonished once again that the great task laid upon it cannot be accomplished if contention continues. The hastening time is here, and greater unity than ever before is necessary if the forces of opposition are to be met. And such unity will prevail if those holding the priesthood will remember their commission to preach the gospel, and each officer will strive to discharge his own duty and magnify his calling. The promise has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in the accomplishment of his purposes among his people, and as the Church shall move forward in its great work, the fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of divine power, yet they shall rejoice in the protection of his grace. The authorities of the Church, whose duty it is to appoint men to missionary tasks, should remember the previously given instructions to send out by twos, and so far as practicable, let the missionaries be so sent. There is wisdom and safety in this. Your servant, Frederick M. Smith, Kansas City, Missouri, April 18, 1925. Section 136. The widespread financial and economic depression, which began near the close of 1929, put the Church into serious financial difficulties. Early in 1930, the counselors in the presiding bishopric resigned, and by agreement between the presidency, 12, and presiding bishop, bishops L.F.P. Curry and G. Leslie DeLapp were chosen to serve as counselors to Bishop Albert Carmichael, subject to the action of the next general conference. The following revelation was approved by the quorums and the conference. To the Church. To the condition of the Church and the personnel of the Quorum of 12 and presiding bishopric, I have in official capacity, as well as in personal meditation and prayer, given much thought, and have earnestly sought divine wisdom and guidance. Believing that such wisdom and inspiration have been given me, I present the following as the word of the Lord to us now. Under conditions existing, it is well that Bishop Albert Carmichael should be released from further responsibility as presiding bishop, he being commended for the faithful devotion to the onerous tasks which have been his to perform. In his stead, let Bishop L.F.P. Curry be chosen to give such time and energy to this office as opportunity and the conditions surrounding him will permit, working toward the time when he can give his full time and attention to the work of the office to which he is thus called. In the work of the office, Bishop G. Leslie DeLapp should be associated as counselor, and one other be named by Bishop Curry, as wisdom and the voice of inspiration may indicate, the selection to be ratified by the conference. To fill a vacancy existing in the number of the 12, let George G. Lewis be set apart and ordained as an apostle, and take his place with that quorum, and enter with his brethren upon the active work of the apostolic quorum and as representatives of the Church. The movements toward better understanding of ministerial responsibilities, duties, and goals, and toward unity of endeavor in teaching, preaching, evangelizing, and the perfecting of the saints are pleasing to the Lord. Contentions, bickerings, and strife are unseemly, hinder the work of the Church, and should not find place among the saints. Only in the peace of fraternity and the unity of those caught up in the spirit of Zionic redemption can the work of the Lord be accomplished. To this task, let the Church devote its energies. Frederick M. Smith, President of the Church, Independence, Missouri, April 14, 1932. Section 137. Revelation given through President Frederick M. Smith at Independence, Missouri, April 7, 1938. The conference adopted this communication with its provisions as the voice of divine inspiration to the Church. To the Church. Since the creation of two vacancies in the Quorum of 12, I have been quite concerned about the condition of that quorum, as well as other bodies in the Church, and after due meditation and prayer for divine light, I am permitted to present the following for the consideration and action of the conference members. Let J. Frank Curtis of the 12, who has long and faithfully served in that quorum, be honorably released from further responsibility as an apostle and take place in the ranks of the Order of Evangelists. To fill the vacancies in the Quorum of 12, let the following named brethren be ordained and set apart as apostles: C. George Mesley, Arthur A. Oakman, and Charles R. Heald. It is wise that Frederick A. Smith, who has become aged in long years of faithful service to the Church in various offices, be released from further responsibility as active president of the Order of Evangelists, though he may be given the honor of being president emeritus of that order. To maintain the working condition of the Order of Evangelists, let Elbert A. Smith be released from further responsibility as counselor to the president of the Church to take up the work of presiding over the Order of Evangelists. And let the Church be admonished that the functioning and work of this order is of great importance in the work of perfecting the saints, and the appointing authorities be reminded that the members of the order, so far as possible, are to be relieved of administrative work and keep themselves in condition for better functioning as evangelists, whose task is to build up faith in the gospel and the Church and its work. And let those whose duty it is to select from the members of the priesthood those for setting apart as evangelists be admonished that the work of this class of ministers requires vigor, deep faith, and unreserved consecration, and men should be selected accordingly. Until such time as the vacancy in the first presidency shall be duly filled, let the work of the presidency be carried on with the aid of such assistance as may be arranged without undue interference with other departments. Let the Church be admonished that the times are portentous and demand faithful adherence to the faith and work of the Church, that mankind may be blessed by and find peace in those religiously social reforms and relationships which have been divinely imposed as a great task of achievement. Remember and keep the commandments. Be alert to keep out of the Church and from its members those forces which make for disunity, and in harmony and saintly accord be about the task of freeing Zion from her bondage. Frederick M. Smith, President of the Church, Independence, Missouri, April 7th, 1938. Section 138. After Elder Elbert H. Smith was ordained presiding evangelist at the conference of 1938, the first presidency continued with Elder F. M. McDowell as the sole remaining counselor to President Frederick M. Smith. President McDowell resigned in October 1938. With the approval of the Council of 12, acting under the inspiration given to him at the time, President Frederick M. Smith associated Elders Israel A. Smith and L. F. P. Curry with himself in the presidency. In the following revelation, this arrangement is confirmed. The revelation was received by unanimous action of the conference and was ordered included in the Doctrine and Covenants. To the saints in general conference assembled. As a result of the conditions existing when the Joint Council of First Presidency, Quorum of the Twelve, and Presiding Bishopric met in October 1938, Brother Floyd M. McDowell, Second Counselor, presented his resignation to me to take effect immediately. This left the President without counselors, and to meet the situation, acting under such inspirational impulsions as were given me at the moment, I presented the names of Brethren Israel A. Smith and Lemuel F. P. Curry to fill the vacancies in the First Presidency, these selections being unanimously approved by the Quorum of 12. I suggested to the brethren named the wisdom of at once entering upon their tasks in the presidency. This was done, and there was thrown upon Brother Curry a double responsibility, for it was thought best for him to continue his work as presiding bishop until further instructions were given. Acting further under the impulsion referred to, I now present the names of Israel A. Smith and Lemuel F. P. Curry for ratification as counselors in the First Presidency, Brother Curry to be released from further responsibility as presiding bishop. To effect necessary reorganization of the presiding bishopric, let G. Leslie DeLapp be selected and ordained as presiding bishop, he being left free to nominate his counselors in due time. Let the church again be admonished that the task of establishing Zion presses heavily upon us. Barriers and hindrances to the achievement of this goal should be removed as speedily as possible and practicable. To lay securely the foundations for Zion and her buildings, the work should be accomplished in peace and harmony. Unity should prevail. To this end, all the saints should work together in the rich fraternity which can and will prevail among them when they keep faithfully the commandments. Great blessings are in store for the church if it will in faith and saintly devotion go forward in its tasks. Frederick M. Smith, President of the Church, Independence, Missouri, April 10, 1940. Section 139. President Frederick Madison Smith died March 20, 1946, and was succeeded as prophet, seer, and revelator by his brother, Elder Israel A. Smith. The need to fill the quorum of the first presidency was urgent, and the newly ordained president gave this his immediate and prayerful attention. The following revelation was presented to the quorums and to the conference by President Israel A. Smith early in the conference sessions. After it had been approved in the usual manner and those named had been ordained to their respective offices, the work of the conference proceeded under the direction of the newly constituted presidency. To the quorums and to the general conference, beloved brethren, realizing our urgent need to receive light and instruction in order that the quorums might be filled, I have wrestled in prayer to God in my weakness, on behalf and in the interest of the church, sensing deeply that it has been but a few hours ago when the burden of the church was laid upon me, yet in confidence and faith that God will not fail the church when called upon. In the early hours of yesterday and today, I was blessed by the Spirit in power and assurance, such as I have never before experienced. The mind of the Lord was manifested to me, and in the order named, my brethren have been presented to me as follows, and accordingly I have written. It is my will, saith the Spirit, that my servants of the Quorum of Twelve, John F. Garver and F. Henry Edwards, be ordained and set apart to be counselors to my servant, the President of the Church, and to be presidents in the quorum of the first presidency. They are my chosen vessels and are qualified by experience. Their apostleship is extended in presidency, and if they will go forward in loving service, their ministry will be very effective. To fill one of the vacancies in the quorum of 12 apostles, I have presented to my servant the name of D. Blair Jensen of the High Priest Quorum, who is called and chosen to this office, and should be ordained and set apart as a special witness in the Quorum of 12. My heart has been made to rejoice, as I feared that through my weakness and inexperience the work of the church might suffer loss. I present this word to you soon after its reception, and as I write, it is confirmed again unto me. May God bless you in your deliberations, and if the quorums and the body shall have this message confirmed unto them, I shall rejoice, and I have faith that the church thereby will be blessed. Your servant in Christ, Israel A. Smith, President of the Church, Independence, Missouri, April 9, 1946.